Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have Andrea Waltz, and she is an expert in overcoming fear of failure and rejection. What's up, Andrea?
Hey, Tom, what's up?
What is up? Yeah, we just spoke a little bit about the, what expertise Andrea has, and she's a co-author of a book, and, you know, that topic we mentioned, that if fear of failure and rejection, that definitely resonates with salespeople. But as I told her, I don't think it does as much anymore as it used to. And that's because, you know, people forgot what it is to prospect these days. That's why prospecting is making such a resurgence, right? Like the days of going door to door and hitting, you know, up businesses like I used to do, it's not as known, especially in the online crowd around me. Like, they have no idea what they're doing half the time. You know, if like the emails don't go out and don't get customers, or the social doesn't do it, oh my God, I'm stuck. I'm like, it's like, yeah. Don't you notice that too?
Yeah. Well, you're so right. And so, I mean, the book that we wrote, which now has been out almost 20 years, called Go For No, talks about overcoming fear of failure and rejection in relationship to the word no, and how people just can't deal with the word no. And we teach people to actually go out and hear no more often to be more successful. So it is kind of that sales is a numbers game thing. But I think what's interesting, and prospecting is coming back, because social has taken, it's like the pendulum always swings back and forth, right? So the pendulum has swung, everyone's doing social, everybody thinks that the leads are going to be coming to them, which is great. But I'll tell you what I found, Tom, and that is that people still, when your comfort zone isn't expanding, it is shrinking. And then people get nervous even about having communication, because at some point, oftentimes, you, to close business, you have to have a conversation with someone. And I have also talked to millennials over the years who have said that they get nervous and have fear just sending an email to someone.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I mean, that is, so it's like, it used to be, oh, I'm nervous knocking on a door, or I'm nervous going into an interview, or I'm nervous asking someone for the sale or what have you, in person or maybe on the phone in a phone appointment. And I think what's happening is because people protect themselves, and it's like this kind of bubble wrap mentality of, I don't want to ever be uncomfortable, I don't want to ever feel anything negative or have any negative experiences. Then here we are, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm nervous about sending this email and having the person write back and say not interested, or maybe not write back at all. But that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I've seen a meme making rounds maybe like a year ago in some of the business circles, and it pretty much said, like, what are you doing? You're calling me. Why aren't you texting me? Are you a sociopath? And I'm like, wow, seriously? Like, that just means you're making no money if that's your only, you know, if you're texting. Like, you know, it's fine if you're trying to get like a $7 sale, right? But if you're closing like a $26,000 business deal, texting is not going to cut it.
No. And ultimately, because it is about kind of the vision I like to have in my head, even though I'm not a super football fan, is moving the ball down the field. And you start using social and you start connecting with people and engaging and sharing content. I think all that's great. But the further you move the ball down the field and the closer you get to scoring that touchdown, there's going to have to be some conversation involved, especially, you're right, not with a $7 sale, but with anything where the buyer has to have some level of trust. They kind of want to know, well, who are you and what's this about? Or talk to someone in the organization. Someone has to have those communication and influence skills. And that requires having some understanding of dealing with getting that no, or handling that objection, being able to deal with that both strategically, like, what do you say? And then also just emotionally, like, okay, have that, you need to have that resilient mindset.
Yeah, I've had someone ask me, not recently, but it was a while back, like, Tom, can you make a business where you don't have to speak to anyone or, you know, deal with anyone? And I'm like, well, possibly, but why would you want to? It's like the hardest way to try and build a business, at least if you want to control it, right? Because like with Amazon, yeah, you could easily, You know, you could do some drop shipping and let Amazon take care of everything. But, you know, they control the business. They own the list. Like, you're just doing market research for them. It's not a real business. Like, if you want to build a real business, you need to talk to customers.
That's such a good point. And I think today we all have to be very careful. And I've fallen into this trap as well. I mean, we sell a lot of books on Amazon and they own that platform. And at any time that they want to change, I mean, we've seen it with things like Google, we've seen it with Facebook. If they want to change their algorithm, if they want to change how they do things, and you have built your entire business around that platform, around the rules that have been set up at that moment, you can't count on those rules not to change. They're going to change. You have to be prepared. That's why you have to build your own tribe, your own business, as you say.
Yeah, the thing with the tribe, I think it doesn't work for every single business, but having a list, you know, that is your business, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's, you know, that's a big thing too, like with the tribes and influencing and authenticity and all of this. Like, yeah, you know, it's not all of it is necessary, right? Like, for me, being authentic, you know, it's kind of cute for some people, but I think professional is more important, right? Like, if someone's buying from me, they're buying from me because they trust me and I'm a pro, not because I'm authentic and have a personality. That helps me sell, for sure, but it's not the key indicator, right? Like, people don't need to like me to buy from me.
That's an interesting, that is a really interesting take on that. And I mean, I can see what you're saying. And I think that it really depends on, again, kind of the business that you are building, the business you want to build. I think some people build businesses and they build it on their personality. It's all about them. And so if they're not out there and in front and they're not creating the content and sharing it and authenticity and personality and all of those things, then their business just kind of comes to a screeching halt. So you really have to be mindful and be careful of that. If you're solving if a business is a kind of problem solution business where you're providing a solution to something, then it is really about professionalism and trust, not about, well, who are you as a person? What's your personality?
Yeah, like the businesses you mentioned, I actually don't consider them a business. To me, a business is something you can sell. If something, it depends on your personality and you need to keep going, whatever it is, you know, posting on social to keep it going, then you have a job.
Right. Well, like, so take these online, someone on Instagram posting pictures of clothes or whatever, or skincare or makeup. So your position is not a business, because as soon as they stop posting, I assume the revenue is not coming in.
Yeah, it's a job. Like, the scariest thing I've seen, there was a piece of news recently about, I think the girl was 7 from Mexico, and she built up a huge following on YouTube by posting videos. I think her brother's filming videos of her. She's from a pretty wealthy family. And just huge, right? Like, every video she came out with had like a 1 to 1.5 million views. And her mom died. So for about 2 months, obviously, as a 7-year-old, she couldn't deal with it well and couldn't make videos. Well, after 2 months, she came back, and YouTube, you know, the algorithm, like, hit her super hard for not, you know, playing the game and posting like she's supposed to. And now she's getting like 10 to 50,000 views for a video. So it just tells you, like, it's brutal. Like, you have a job. And I mean, this is a 7-year-old, but think about like someone that's 20 something. Like, you just got yourself a job that you can't stop. You know, you stop for 2 months and you're pretty much back at square one.
Right. Well, I mean, and you're reminding me of the book, The E-Myth, which is all about kind of the fundamentals of what entrepreneurship really is, which is seeing a gap in the marketplace or solving a problem and having systems around it, which is a business less than building something around your personality.
Yeah, I really like that book. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, with building a job around your personality. You can still make a lot of money with it. It's just not sellable. There's no exit, and you have to keep hustling all the time. That's why it's still a job. At least in my opinion. So I've seen on your website, the Go For Now, that you have a new course out. and we speak about online courses a lot because we do creation and marketing of courses here. So tell me about your experience with the course. How has it been doing? How have you been marketing it? Because I know a lot of listeners are curious about that.
Yeah. So, well, it's kind of funny because I dragged my feet on making a course for so long. We created physical products back in like 2006, 2007. We got our content on CDs and we made a DVD documentary movie. So we had all this great content and I knew that I had to have a digital course for so long. It was just having the mental energy to pull all of that together and recreate it in the form of a course. I think that's probably the biggest challenge for most people is just that energy that it takes to pull together all of that content. But we finally went through everything that we had on our CDs and used Kajabi, which was, I think, at least for me as a non-technical person, really an easy platform to use. And so far, we've really just been marketing it to our list because they understand Go for No. And we speak at speaking engagements, so we market the course that way. Have not done a lot of like Facebook ads and driving people to the sales page, things like that. Go for No is a challenging concept because it's almost a double sell, meaning you have to sell people on the idea that they, in order to be more successful, they need to intentionally hear no more often, they need to overcome their fear of failure and rejection. And once I can convince them to do that, then it's okay, next read the book and then hopefully take the next step, which is the course.
Interesting. Yeah, that is sort of a barrier that you put in place.
Yeah, I mean, it's not your typical success, rah-rah thing. Some people get it right away. And we've been in business now for 20 years and we have tried all kinds of different marketing messages to try to figure out what is the main problem that we solve? And the main problem that we solve is to help people change the way they think about failure and rejection, because most people don't see it as positive. They avoid failure. They avoid rejection. And our position is, hey, you need to try things. You need to take risks. You need to hear a certain number of no's in order to get a yes. And then when you do that, you can increase your success. You will get better, but you don't get better if you're not out there making your offer, right? It's that kind of, you need to, and it doesn't matter if it's online marketing, it can be online marketing. It's the same thing. If you send out an email and no one clicks, then you've got a problem somewhere in your sales copy. Maybe it's the your list, you haven't built qualified target prospects, but it's making those offers in order to figure out where the gaps are. Same thing, even if you're just out there literally having appointments and talking to actual humans, you the more you do it, the more you figure out what works and what doesn't.
You know, let's talk a little bit more about this failure and rejection. I have a hard time grasping this niche because I've never had that fear. And, you know, when I think back, it's actually very strange because I've been able to knock on doors, no problem, talk to anyone, no problem. I send out emails, don't care what happens. No's don't bother me at all. Mm-hmm. I used to walk the streets in Brooklyn selling. People will, you know, slam the doors and I just be like, whatever, this is annoying, but, you know. I've done concerts where I performed, and same thing, going on stage, no problem. So how do you get someone that's a complete opposite from me? and like you always hear, like public speaking is the biggest fear of most people in the world. And you sort of have to speak publicly to get rejected in real life. You know, the email thing, let's not even go into that. That's a joke. Like if someone ignores me or says no through email, that's like a mosquito flying by. But, you know, if someone's really scared of that, how do you turn that around?
Well, okay, so here's what's interesting. Now, first of all, I will tell you this. If we speak to a group of, let's say, 1,000 people, there's usually one or two people who come up after and say, wow, that was a great presentation, but I don't have a problem with no. I've heard no all my life. It doesn't bother me, blah, 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 all of that. you are like in the top, literally it is, there's 1% in my experience who just, they have no issue. And so they don't understand it, and they can't relate to the people who have paralyzing fear. And then you have the biggest population is right in the middle. It's like 60-70%, 80% who are just kind of like, yeah, I've got some fear. I don't like to hear no, I take it personally. And then you have the last percent, maybe 20%, something like that, where there's nothing I could say or do to help them, to train them, to teach them, to coach them, short of coming over to their house and literally picking up the phone for them or sending the email for them. Like, there's nothing I can do. And so that group is challenging. It's frustrating. So I really work with the people in the middle, because I don't need to work with you, and I don't need to work with you're in that top echelon percentage. So how we do it is, see, you have this kind of natural, what we call a growth mindset, which is really understanding that that failures are part of the process, and you aren't looking for validation, you aren't looking for value in the yes or the no, you're not looking for validation of your performance, you don't care what other people think, you're detached. So all of those skills and those kind of emotional mindsets are really what we teach. We teach people, hey, you need to detach from the outcome. You need to literally like give yourself permission to fail. In other words, give yourself permission to try something, give yourself permission to go up on stage. And if you're successful, great. If it's a flop, okay, so you learned something, then you can do it again. It's a soft skill, right? It's like, it's touchy-feely kind of, because it's psychological, but at the same time, it is about getting people into action.
That makes a lot of sense. You're right. When you were talking about the things like, you know, not looking for validation and not caring what people think, like that's actually how people describe me around me. It's also why it's very difficult for me to get engaged with social. Because, you know, the likes and the engagements and the shares, like, I could care less. Like, where's the money? Like, that's always my thing.
Right. But. Right. Well, and that's it. Yeah. I mean, that is where you want to be. And I think that validation and that caring what other people think. And, again, I can't tell you how many times people say, yeah, I take no personally. And so it's about teaching them, listen, you have to, not only do you have to deal with the fact that everybody has their opinions and judgments, you've got to embrace it. Like if the thing that you create or produce or do that one person hates and they say like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, I can't believe that person's out there creating that, the next person will love it and think it's the coolest thing ever. Getting that intellectually, people get intellectually, they have to kind of dig down emotionally. And like I said, there's only like 1% of the people out there who just have it, and it's very hard to teach it, but there's still a percentage of people out there, which is why I'm in business, who like want to learn it. And I've seen people though, Tom, who have had paralyzing fear of rejection, and they learn go for no, and they start becoming a person more like you, or they hear no more often, and the more they do it and the more they take action, the better their confidence gets. And so they can change. Will they get to where you are level? No, rarely can someone go from kind of the average group to the top way of thinking, but they can radically shift to where their life is a lot better and they get a lot better results.
Okay. Yeah, this whole topic's been really interesting to me, because I've had people ask me this, and sometimes I feel bad because I can't really understand it, you know, and that's why, right, I think I'm getting your help to get this. So, like, what I usually say is, like, look, you want to be polarizing, because like you just said, you know, if some people hate you, well, that means others will love you. Like, it's better to have that than just have no personality and have nobody give a shit, you know? Like, right. That's my thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fear comes in when it's all about, I kind of, like, I want to create something that everyone will like, and I won't offend anyone, or this or that, or even worse, I'll tell you what I see all the time, is people who don't want to be perceived as a pushy salesperson. And it doesn't matter if it's this, again, it doesn't matter if it's in person online, they don't want to seem pushy or aggressive. And so it comes back to, listen, you've got to be persistent. You can't just make one offer to someone and then expect that. A lot of times that no doesn't mean never, the no means not yet. And you've got to stay persistent. So that's a whole other piece of what we teach, is just that persistence and tenacity from a selling standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's key. What I found works really well is insight selling, right? So just giving people insights and pulling them in. And once they start engaging you, looking for the sale, then you become ruthless, you know, because you're like, now it's for their good that they buy this service. So you need to go in for the kill, right? But initially, just teaching people and educating them, and you can do that all the time, because that's not salesy. You know, you're just giving out info. So that's how I usually tell people to go about that. But during closing, like, it's your job to do what's good for the client, and that is to close them. So don't go soft at that point. You know, that's not the time for it. But also, I feel like you kind of become a little jaded over time too. And the things that moved you in the beginning just don't move you as much in the year two or three. Like you've said, you've been in business in 20 years. Like some of the problems and things that come up that could probably ruin someone's day, like you just look at it and be like, oh yeah, yeah.
That is a really good point. Absolutely. You do develop a thick skin, and you go through stuff enough, and you see enough changes, and go through enough issues or obstacles. And yeah, you just learn to overcome them. And it's just one more thing. And this too shall pass, right?
Yeah. But it's just like the way it affects you, it's very different, like just very different. And like, it's like you've seen it 200 times before. And maybe that's what the rejection thing is too, right? Like people need to hear it, you know, 10,000 times and see like, oh, it didn't do anything to me, you know, because it's like there's no pain just because someone says no. It's just a no. Like I did have one boss that used to tell me just, you know, you get enough no's, you're going to get a yes. And I've tested that. And I was working at this one business for Nestle, selling the water machines and the bottles around Brooklyn, right? Mm-hmm. And what I figured is I could say anything. I mean, like anything, like, hey, you know, do you like Eskimos? And one out of 99 would buy whatever I'm selling just because they'd be like, what are you selling? Like, what do you want? And they would take it. Like, it just didn't matter what I said. Like, obviously, you can make that number go up a lot by actually selling. But I found out you can say anything enough times and someone's just going to, like, feel sorry or just throw you a bone and be like, just like, oh, man, I can't believe you're doing this. Just give me whatever you're selling.
Right. Oh, totally. And we talk about that all the time. I mean, yeah. And to that point, sales is a numbers game in a way, in that if you make enough offers, at some point, somebody's just going to take what you have. You're going to stumble on the right person at that right moment. And then, so if we can start from there and then say, okay, so now how do we improve that? How can we change the offer? How can we make it better? Can we find more targeted, qualified prospects, et cetera, right? But it is so true that is where we start. And one of the things that we say is you can numb yourself to no. You hear it enough. But then sometimes people will say, okay, so your advice is just beat your head against the wall and just hear no over and over and over again forever. Well, of course not. No, you do want to get better. You want to improve every aspect of your sales process, starting from the very beginning of what problem are you solving? Who's your prospect? Where do they hang out? What kind of offer can you make? Testing every single piece of it. But first, we got to get people over just the inertia of the stalling and the not doing anything, because they just have this paralyzing fear.
Yeah, I can see that. Have you found anyone else other than salespeople really dealing with this issue?
Yeah. Almost everyone who has to communicate and ask anything. So literally, like, and you might find this kind of funny, but it's people in fundraising, for example. But when I say funny, what I mean is we'll teach people, hey, start practicing go for no. If you go to a restaurant and they sit you at a table that's like in the back and it's by the water station and it's noisy and it's horrible and you hate it, well, that's the moment where you need to say, hey, I want to sit up at the front in the nice table. And believe it or not, people need to practice that. That is like the safe way of saying, oh, okay, this is how I learned to ask. So this is a life skill. It's a business skill for sure, but we see it in fundraising. We see it with actors, anyone in the entertainment industry, any artist, and every industry. I mean, obviously sales, insurance and financial and direct sales and all of those kind of businesses, but and it's, you know, people trying to get jobs, people who are scared to ask for a raise, people who are trying to get a better job. It's in every area.
Yeah, I'm thinking about small business people, especially online. You know, when you're first starting out, you're usually solo or have a team of maybe two or three, and it's your job to sell. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have this culture now in the U.S. that, you know, having a business is super sexy, right? So everyone should have a business, you know, look at the Shark Tank and the profit, and like, you know, it's just business porn everywhere.
Right.
And a lot of people come from backgrounds where they've never had to sell or communicate or say anything out loud or making offers, you know, and I kind of wonder what kind of a impact this is having on their businesses.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's funny, I haven't heard the term business porn, but you're right. That is, everyone's kind of has a side hustle. Everyone has, everyone is trying to be an entrepreneur. At least that's what it feels like. And from what I see, I mean, and of course I'm in my own little world, so I'm dealing with maybe a slightly skewed population, but people just hate the idea of selling. They don't want to be perceived as a salesperson. And the successful ones are out there who understand no one's going to advocate for your product or your service or your business more than you. I mean, you've got to get out there and shout it from the rooftops and do what you can. Am I suggesting that you strong arm people and sell them stuff they don't need? Absolutely not. But you've got to get out there and be an advocate. And I think the people that can't do that, who just they literally say, I can't do that. I can't talk myself up. I can't say that I have this great business or service. They're going to struggle.
Yeah, I think big time. What's the number one piece of advice you would give them? Like the 80-20, since obviously they can't all work with you and, you know, reading the book, some of them don't have time. Just what would you say? Like, what do you do first? How do you get over this?
Right. Well, the very first thing I would tell people is you have to embrace failure. And again, I know it sounds crazy, and I'm not saying sabotage yourself and fail, but you've got to give yourself permission to fail, because what I find is that people get stuck and they want everything to be perfect. So they won't start a business or they won't try to make a presentation, because if they don't know everything, if they think they're not ready, they're never ready. And so I'm always telling people, pick up the phone and make the call. It doesn't matter if you sound like the biggest idiot, biggest loser, the person hangs up on you. You've got to just start and get into action. You've got to give yourself permission to fail, like we did when we were kids and we were willing to try stuff and we were willing to learn how to ride a bike and fall in front of other kids. We didn't care. It was just like, whatever, we have to do this to get what we want. And that's kind of the mindset. And it's really about overcoming that fear of failure and that need to be perfect, that need to worry about what others think. So I say, give yourself permission to fail and do it even if it's bad.
Yeah, I used to have this 3-second rule back in college. If I seen a hot girl walking around, I was like, 3 seconds, I got to say something or I won't say anything. So I just always jump in. And after a while, like, I just had a lot of friends who just happened to now be like the hottest girls in the college, like all of them. And my friends would always be like, how in the world is this happening? And I was like, it's the 3-second rule. And no one believed me.
That's so funny. That's so funny. And that actually reminds me of Mel Robbins' book, which is The 5 Second. I think it's called The 5 Second. Yeah, seriously. And she's all about, you know, when you're laying in bed or whatever and you don't want to get up and it's like, do the countdown. But I love it because that's that moment where you just say, go for it. What's the worst that can happen?
You're
and
nothing.
Exactly. You get rejected or the person goes like, eh, whatever. But you do it enough. And then you realize I don't need any one girl to validate who I am as a person or whatever. So if she is nice and friendly and wants to like have a conversation, great. We might become friends, but you have to get over that 3 seconds is great.
Yeah, I think just realizing that, you know, everyone you speak to is only human, right? So I think this fear of no is coming from, you know, putting people on pedestals or having too much, they're worrying too much about the outcome, right? Like, you know,
yes.
If I can't sell this person, I'm going out of business. No, you're not.
Right.
You are
yes.
not going out of business. Like, look, as business people, we all have this fear that, you know, the next sale won't happen, then the team will quit, and we're going to be under a bridge in a week. It doesn't happen, but we all have it. It's just this thing that we have as business people. Like, it's always in the back of the head. Like, everything's going to go wrong, and especially if things are going well, like, you always think that.
Right.
But when you deal with people, you're just dealing with people. Like, we're all having our own problems, and as long as you make it sort of a win-win, they'll listen to you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so funny that you would even say that, because I talk about that exact same thing, about how your brain can take a couple of negative things, especially if things happen in, you know, sequence, right? So if you have a few negative things happen in a row, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going out of business. This is a disaster. And your brain just is trying to protect you. But in this day and age, you're not running from a saber-toothed tiger. You're not being chased by some creature from, you know, thousands of years ago. This is the real world, and no one's living under a bridge next week. It just doesn't happen that fast. And in those moments, that's where you have to talk yourself off the ledge and say, my brain is just trying to protect me. This is not really reality. What's reality?
I think meditation helps a bit too. Like, there's this program I found a couple of years ago, it's called like the 8-minute meditation. And the only thing I got out of the whole thing is that, you know, the voices in your brain, that's not you. And as soon as you just make that distinction, the second you hear some nonsense like that, you just like, stop it, go away. You just, you
right,
know, and
right.
you move on. But before that, I always thought that was me saying it. So I took it a little more seriously. Like, I was like, really? I'm going out of business? Like, hold on. Let me look at my numbers.
Right.
You know, but now it's just like, just go
right.
away.
Right, right. I read there's a great book called The Untethered Soul. I think this was in The Untethered Soul. And it talks about your inside voice, like that voice that talks to you. And they said, if you can picture taking that inner voice and making a person out of it and putting that person on the couch sitting next to you, you literally wouldn't want anything to do with that person. You would be like, this is a crazy person. I want to lock this person up, because that's how your inner voice is. Your inner voice is never helpful. It's always super, super dramatic. Everything is always falling apart. And so you wouldn't want to be with that person for more than a half an hour before you just couldn't take it. And that's what we have to shut down.
Yeah, one of my friends recommended that. Actually, a couple of my friends recommended that book to me. I just haven't read it. Would you recommend that one?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's really interesting that it's all about your inner voice and really who you are. It's very deep.
Mm. That's great. I hope some people pick it up. I'll definitely try to look at it soon. Because, yeah, that's something that actually one of my friends was super into it last year. Like,
yeah.
That's all he talked about. And I could see some changes, actually. You know, he switched his business up and went into things which I wouldn't think he would go into. But I guess that inner voice stopped, so he's got his confidence back.
The other book that I love, that I would highly recommend, is a book called The 4 Agreements.
Oh, I've heard about that one, too. I think that was a really good one for relationships overall.
Yeah, overall, exactly. And one of the agreements, and we've talked about this today, is not taking things personally, because one of the other agreements requirements is not making assumptions. And we all, that goes hand in hand with what I'm always talking to people about in terms of making assumptions from a business standpoint. You can look at it as not assuming what kind of money someone has to spend. Small business owners all the time, I've personally struggled with this, is your fees and setting your fees too low and setting your pricing too low because you make assumptions about what people will spend with you, what your value is. So that's, I just love that book for many reasons.
Yeah, I've just had this conversation yesterday. Someone was asking me about remarketing because I've just told them that's probably the fastest way to grow their business because everything else is organic. And he's like, how do you figure? I was like, well, why wouldn't they? He's like, he assumed that, if someone didn't buy the first time, they just didn't want it. And I was like, that's the craziest assumption I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. A big percentage of the people just need to hear it again. Maybe the positioning was off. Maybe you need to show a little more proof. Maybe they don't trust you yet. Maybe someone just came in the room and said, look, we got to go. We got dinner. And by the time they came back, they forgot about it. There's so many different things that could be happening, for you to reach out to them again, and I told them, picture a person with a card by the checkout line, and they just leave the card with everything inside. Something happened. That's not normal, right? So if someone's at your card page online and hasn't checked out, you need to ask them what happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's such a great point.
So on that note, Andrea, thank you for coming on. And where can people find you?
It's very easy. We're pretty well branded. So it's goforno.com.
Awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And thank you. It was a super fun conversation.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.